Positive Perspective, one of the most interesting hours in radio, where we shine the positive light of Jesus Christ on the scriptures, music, our communities, and world issues. We're broadcasting live from Skid Row Studios in beautiful downtown Los Angeles.
Yes, this is Willis Boyd, and this is Denise Boyd.
Hello.
And you are listening to Positive Perspective. Our show tonight is on homosexuality. The question is, were homosexuals in the state and federal penitentiaries born that way? And we will be having a discussion, but it kind of reminds me of the story about Sodom and Gomorrah. When the angels, I'm going to read it to you right here. But he insisted so strongly that they, meaning the angels that came to the town, did go with them and enter into his house. He prepared a meal for them, breaking bread without yeast, and they ate. Before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, "Where are the men whom came to you tonight? Bring them out so that we can have sex with them." Okay, that kind of reminds me of like in the penitentiary when it was, you know, the new guys would come in and the guys in the penitentiary would see them. They say, "Fresh meat. We got fresh meat in here." And then they, you know, abuse them in a way or try to abuse them or overcome them so that they would either have sex with them or they would kill them or, you know, it was just that. It was abuse. So, okay, basically. Now that I've gotten that out of the way, I would like to introduce our in-studio guest tonight, Anthony. Last name?
Romero.
Okay, Anthony Romero's in studio tonight, and it just happened really suddenly and quick and spontaneous. And also we have a call-in. Are you out there, call-in?
Yes, hello, everyone.
Oh, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Okay. So, anyway, we're having a conversation on homosexuality, and I would like Denise to read Leviticus 18, 22-25.
Okay. It says, "Do not lie with the man as one lies with the woman. This is detestable. Do not have sexual relationships with an animal and defy yourself with it. A woman must not present herself to an animal to have sexual relationships with it. That is a perversion. Do not defile yourself in any of these ways, because this is how the nations that I'm going to drive out before you became defiled. Even the land was defiled, so I punished it for its sin. And the land vomited out its inhabitants."
Okay, that scripture is Bible, biblical. While I was doing the research, I was coming across sites that were saying that the Bible does not say anything against homosexuality. There are, I guess, Christian gay organizations, which is an oxymoron, in my opinion. Now, also, my opinions or the opinions of Positive Perspective do not necessarily
They don't reflect the studio's opinions.
Right. So I just wanted to get that out there. Anthony surprised us with a little tidbit of information when we came in here and the show. It's like it's kind of a an awkward in a way because the homosexual or gay community has so much power in the city, in this particular city, in a lot of cities, and even in the government now. They're in very high places in Congress and in government, in the schools. The propaganda that they are putting out there for our youth and in video, music videos, and all kinds of things to persuade our kids to, I guess, agree or adapt to that lifestyle. And they're trying to make it look more glamorous. And that's, I guess, what I'm kind of speaking out against. There are homosexuals that are deliberately defying the word of God and trying to change the word of God. And then there are homosexual people that are trapped in that lifestyle, that were manipulated into it, abused into it, and don't know how to get out. So I guess I have a bone to pick with the trendy homosexuals that claim they were born that way. There's not really any strong evidence that to prove that, but I'll go to, and we're kind of having a discussion before the show about different various ways or choices that we have to make. So I'm going to turn it over to Anthony, who was bisexual, or not now, but was bisexual.
Yes.
And he was kind of sharing to us his experience and how that all happened. And we were kind of really just talking about that, right?
Yeah, exactly. It was just a coincidence that we were just having a pre-show conversation.
And I don't think it's a coincidence.
No.
But anyway, Anthony, could you share with us a little bit about what you were saying out there?
Pretty much. I was bi, so I was into guys and girls. And this was like in middle school, going into high school. That's when I realized it. But I've actually heard a lot of people say that they were born gay and then they just turned gay. I don't believe you being born gay, because you're still a baby. You don't know what's going on. You don't feel anything. You don't know anything until at a certain age, which in my head is around 4 or 5, is when you realize what you're doing. So in my head, I thought if you were born gay, then it's either something that you've seen or someone really close to you doing it, doing the action for you to do it. Yes.
Yeah.
So just like how they say like, once a criminal, always a criminal. Or if you were born pretty much in a bad neighborhood, you were going to turn out to be a criminal.
Uh-huh.
I don't believe that, because it all depends on who you're raised around.
Right.
Because there's a lot of success stories about all that. Uh-huh. So me, pretty much, how I started is I was just young and I just started noticing that I started growing feelings for guys and girls. But for some reason, it was attracted to guys too. And I just like wondered in my head, being Christian, being born Christian, and being grown up in a Christian home, it was really contradicting to myself, because it's like, I'm not supposed to be thinking this way, but then I just think this way. But then I thought about it and I've argued my own self, hey, maybe it's just a trend. Maybe it's something that just going to go by. Maybe it's just going to go by and just go away. Or it may be something that I'm going to be stuck to. So I made a promise to myself and I wrote it down. And I wrote that if I ever did turn gay, I'd have to tell my whole family. I'd have to tell my pastor, because I went to the same church for 16 years.
Uh-huh.
So I'd made a promise to myself that I would tell everyone that I love with my heart that I'm gay and that I don't want to do with girls.
You're going to stand up. I mean, like you said it, and I'm here to represent it, basically.
Yeah.
Is that you... If you believe that, and that's what I think a lot of the flamboyant gays and the gay pride, which I'm not saying that, like you were saying, that a lot of people consider gay people as bottom dwellers or a lower class of citizens. No, I don't believe that at all. I know there's a lot of beautiful, magnificent, talented intelligent gay people, and I know that.
Like,
I mean,
if, like for one, Ellen is really, really famous. Like the Ellen Show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Ellen.
She's Ellen. Yeah. She's very famous, and she's
right. And nobody knows her story. Maybe some people do, but I'm like saying only an idiot would sit and think to himself that any of us, I mean, any of us is and in my opinion, is God's creation, mm-hmm. are not capable of brilliant, wonderful things. And that's like you were saying, a choice that we make, or like a murderer or a king or, you know, a musician. We have choices. We can be brilliant at something, but still be alcoholics or drug users or drug abusers, mm-hmm. Addicted to porn, and have these, I guess, sins that are human nature.
One of the things that you said that was interesting to me was that you were raised around a lot of women.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have necessarily a male.
I mean, I did when I was three on. But from when I was born till about three, that's when I didn't. And that was like, I always had my uncle. My uncle was like my brother to me. He's only 1 year older than me. Mm-hmm. So he was like my brother. So he always raised me. But then I always stood at my grandma's house. My uncle always stood with me at my parents' house. And then we always switched back. But I was raised by two aunts, one uncle, but he was in and out of the house, my grandma and my mom. And pretty much they were the ones who raised me. So they were the ones who pretty much showed me everything. They're the ones who pretty much got me out there. So growing up, like, I played all the boy things. I did all the boy things. But certain times when it came to parties, when, of course, my family was intoxicated, they're like, my nickname was Bubba. So they said, hey, baby Bubba, start dancing. And I'd start dancing. And I'd just start shaking my butt and doing all that. And they'd cheer for me, and I'd be like, okay, so I'm guessing I'm doing something right. So I just started dancing, and then they noticed that I started getting a little more into it. Then I started swaying my hips more. Then I started, pretty much I was busting out Beyonce right in front of them. And they wouldn't care about that, because they'd be like, oh my gosh, like, when he gets older, he's gonna know how to do all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So in my head, I'm thinking, okay, it's fine, it's cool, like, what I'm doing is fine and everything. And I'm just dancing. And as I got older, I was all like, wait a minute, maybe they actually helped bring out my feminine side too.
Well, you were saying the story about the game that they played.
They played a game called Little Piggy. pretty much what it was is that my two aunts, they would dress me and my uncle up. But how the game started is that when my grandma left the house and my grandpa left the house, they decided that they're gonna play this game with us. So pretty much what they do is, we were like about two or three, and they would pretty much just have us in our diaper, and pretty much the game is find the little piggy. Me and my uncle were the little piggies. They told us it was hide and go seek, but to them it was find the little piggy. Pretty much you have to hide and not let them find you. If they find you, you pretty much have to wear whatever they say. You have to pretty much do whatever they say. So I was like, okay. Then I was like, all right, then, so I get the game. So how they threw us off, which I didn't tell you guys, is that one day they would dress us like a boy. They dress us up like a businessman. Or the next day, they'll dress us up like cholos. They'll dress us up like little baby cholos. And then one day, they just threw us off guard when one day they said, all right, put this on. They started dressing us up, and then they started they put makeup on us. And I didn't know this at the time, but me and my uncle talked about it. And we're like, dude, do you remember wearing makeup? And he's like, yeah, I remember that. And I was like, don't you remember? Then I saw pictures, and I'm like, okay, no. Like, this was actually real. This was actually a real thing. Mm-hmm. So pretty much once they catch us, they can dress us however they want. They didn't go far, but they just, you know, put a little dress on us, put some heels on us. They put a little bit of makeup on us, pretty much like little kid stuff. Mm-hmm. So, and then they'd make us walk down the runway, and we'd walk down, and then they'd raid us, and then whoever won got to get a candy at the end of it. So either way, they knew how to keep us entertained, because to us, it was just a game. But to them, it was pretty funny to them, too, and they started taking pictures. And then, of course, as I got older, which is now I'm 22, and they've showed me these pictures recently, and they're like, hey, look, this is you when you were a baby. I'm like, okay, so now you guys just wanted this to blackmail me later and show me, hey, you know what? This is what you used to do when you were younger. Okay. This is what you used to do when you were younger.
Oh, okay.
So when I thought about it, I was like, maybe it has to do with that too. Like, maybe it has to do with me knowing that too. And then I just realized that it was a really like weird thing for me.
So you were saying that you were curious about guys. What you said, middle school.
So middle school, I was middle school was like my time when like I was pretty much like I noticed that I know I liked girls no matter what. Mm-hmm. But then I had my first girlfriend in high school, in middle school actually, when I barely turned fifth grade. And when I had my girlfriend, my mom said, my mom found a note that she wrote for me, and it was the first letter she ever wrote to me too. And it was, it had a picture of her, and in the front, in the back, it said, "I love you." And I was all like, "Okay." So I just left it on my dresser. My mom came in my room and she looked at it. She goes, "What's this?" And I was all like, "It's just the letter." She goes, "Though it says I love you, who do you love?" And I'm like, "I don't love anyone." And then she's all like, "Well, you're not supposed to be loving any girls right now. You're not supposed to be loving." Well, she said, "You're not supposed to be loving girls right now." So in my head, I'm thinking, okay, I'm not supposed to be loving girls, I guess. I mean, I guess.
No, you and didn't.
That, like, well, because I was younger. So for me, when she said.
Did you really think that she might mean boys?
At one point, I actually thought she did until I caught on. And then my dad spoke to me and he's like, "Don't think that your mom," like later on, my dad told me, he's like, "Don't think your mom's saying you can't like girls. She's just saying that she doesn't want you to, she pretty much doesn't want any other girl in your life right, but your mom."
Right.
And I said, "Oh, okay, I understand it more." I go, "This is why." Mm-hmm. So as I got older, I had a really good friend and he was gay. He was straight out gay, like mm-hmm. straight out. He walked the walk. He talked the talk. He mm-hmm. let it well be known. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is that growing up, when I saw a few of my other friends who were gay, they'd pretty much pick on them and be like, "Hey, you know what? Oh, you're a fag. Oh, you like doing this with guys. You like doing that with guys. Is this how you got an A in class? Because you did this for him, mm-hmm, for the teacher and all that." But my friend, he never cared. Because then if you told him, "Oh, hey, how'd you get an A in the class? Did you do this for him?" And then he'll be like, "Yeah, did you do it too? Because you got the same grade as me." Mm-hmm, and he'd pretty much come back to you and he'd be sarcastic about it. But he'd be like, he's going to let you know for a fact that if you do push that boundary, he's a boy too. So he mm-hmm. could kick your butt still. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's what I thought was weird, because when I saw gay people, I always saw gay people as, you know, like feminine, like girls. They broke a nail, they'd cry. If something wasn't on point with their clothes, they'd cry. If they didn't smell good, they'd cry. But mm-hmm. as I saw my friend, we played football with him. He'd tackle with us. I'd be the quarterback. I'd be throwing the ball at him real hard. He'd catch in. And I was like, wait, this is kind of weird. Like, he's feminine when it came to changing out of our PE clothes, but once he was in those PE clothes, he just turned into a boy out of nowhere, and he'd be carrying the ball, tackling people, mm-hmm, and all that. And I thought it was weird, but then I noticed that when he dressed really feminine, and then I noticed that I had an attraction for him because the way he dressed. Because he dressed like a boy, but he dressed like more feminine. Like, he wear certain things and more jewelry and all that. He never wore makeup. He never wore.
And that's what the one thing you were saying, that you were, I guess, in tune with the feminine side of yourself. So that's what made you notice those things, you think?
Yeah, that's what I noticed that made me notice those things, is like I just started noticing, like, hey, like, he's a boy, but yet I don't know, for some reason I'm attracted to him. And I finally told him one day. I texted him and I told him, and I was like, "Can I tell you something?" And he goes, "Yeah, what's up?" And I go, "I'm very scared to tell you. I don't want to say." He goes, "You're gay." And I'm all like, "No." And he's like, "You're bi." And I said, "I might be." He goes, "Oh, it's okay." He goes, like, what he said is, like, my question is about, too, is the fact that he said, "Oh, I get that a lot from guys. Like, pretty much what he's telling me is, like, he can pretty much sense off when guys want him and guys want to be with him." Mm-hmm. So I was like, "Oh, okay, then." And then me and him were with each other for probably, like, a month and a half. And then the funny thing is that I had a lot of ex-girlfriends before him. So when they found out that when school started finding out that I was with him, because, you know, I'd walk with him and I put my hand on his shoulder. I would never hold his hand in front of people, but I make it seem like, you know, hey, we're bros, we're brothers.
Yeah, it used to be you could hold on to a guy around your best friend and this and that. You can't do that no more.
You can't do that, because then if you do that, they're like, "Oh, you guys are lovers. You guys want to go somewhere. You guys want to do something.
That's the way I think now. When I see two guys, you know, chummy like that, I'm like, you know, they're homosexuals, they're gay.
As our call-in guest, do you have a comment?
Oh, no, I was just, I had a question, actually, because you said that your friend had, that he said he gets that a lot, you know, meaning that, okay, guys that maybe he thinks are heterosexual come out to him as being bi or homosexual, and That was how long, would you say, about 10 years ago, maybe?
About 10 years ago. Like, I still know him. I don't keep in contact with him, but, you know, when we see each other around, we pretty much, hey, how are you doing? Oh, he's doing good. He works in the fashion district. He does all that stuff. He has a boyfriend. He's living his life and all that. But when I talked to him about this, I asked him, hey, like, what do you mean by you give a sense off? He goes, pretty much what I've known and what I've picked up is a whole bunch of gay people or people who been by have a gaydar. So pretty much what a gaydar is, just like a radar, except you can tell when someone's bi, you can tell you have a radar who pretty much that goes off.
But do you, you know, from my understanding is, way back many years ago when I was a lot younger, you could tell when a guy liked you or a guy had an interest in you. I think that's just a sense that, you know, that you can tell.
Anybody has,
you know, I don't think it's just mainly necessarily, you know, a gay person or something. When somebody, you know, shows an interest in you or just has something, it is kind of like an aurora or something like that that gets put off that you know, you can sense.
Yeah, like when I was the star of the basketball team and the cheerleaders would come around. I'm just kidding.
Well, one of the things also I wanted to ask was with our guest caller was, you had said something earlier when we were talking about the, that kind of went around with what Anthony was saying about being influenced by being around all women or something like that. Can you kind of expound upon that?
Yeah, I think for most guys growing up in a home where it's, you know, predominantly female, your sisters, your aunt, your grandmother, it would be, I guess, for obvious reasons, hard to really identify your sexuality when society's telling you, oh, you know, you have to be masculine. You have, you know, these are the characteristics of a heterosexual male, but yet you don't have those characteristics because you're around females and you're raised with women. So then you know, the average child may have that question of, okay, well, maybe I'm gay because I cry easily or my emotions are easily brought out, or, you know, I might like the way my mother's perfume smells and I may spray it on every now and then. And back then, maybe in our day, or when Anthony's growing up, since it wasn't that long ago, it was taboo to even admit that you had any type of female tendencies because, you know, you'll be categorized as homosexual. But now in this day and age that we're living in, it's so accepting, you know. All a kid would have to do is go to school and say, you know, I think I'm gay, and he'd probably have all kind of counselors making all kind of accommodations for him, or because he may feel transgender, or, you know, and it leads to that question, you know, how do we draw that line with a child of having them understand what's heterosexual, what's homosexuality, without, you know, basically just making them feel they have to choose because of how they were brought up, or because what they're accustomed to, or because of some type of emotions that they feel that they're told only the other gender is supposed to feel.
Well, I think that nowadays it's and like I said, the propaganda in the sitcoms, the music videos, it's gross to me to see these things, but it's even grosser to me to see how they're attacking the youth. And in my opinion, it's the same thing Hitler did. He embraced the children and taught them how to hate and how to kill and his beliefs. And the children, their minds are not developed one way or another. And they're in this war all of a sudden, you know, trying to figure out what's right, what's wrong, and if it's, you know, if it seems like it's fun, or if it feels good, then they'll have a tendency to go that way. And that's, I guess, my gripe is that they're abusing, in my mentally abusing our youth, just like if I was in a penitentiary and some big guy forced me to feel a certain way or do certain things against my will, or against, you know, who I am.
And I think that's how a lot of parents feel in that aspect, because with the schools, our children are in school more than they're with us. Mm-hmm. You know, the teachers, school staff have a greater influence on our children than we do. If anything, we're explaining things to our children that are brought to their attention beforehand, whether it's peers, you know, school rules, regulations, and things like that. For instance, in Clark County in Nevada, there was this big thing during the summer where parents were just pissed off and outraged that the school wanted to implement this new sex education program. Now you're thinking, okay, sex education, like back in the day, you learned about the female body, the male body, so on. But no, they're going as far as teaching five-year-olds on up about accepting homosexuality, the difference between homosexuality and heterosexual, and also how to even masturbate. Now, these are talking about kindergartners. I mean, at any level of elementary school, it's a little, you know, ridiculous, but it's a scary thought. And you know, a big meeting had resulted from this where parents were just outraged of how can you make the decision as school officials to teach our children something that should only be discussed in the home. Mm-hmm. You know, and truth of the matter is, when it comes to sex anyway, children should never be bothered with sexual issues, especially at school, because that mm-hmm. is going to already open the door to have them accept things,
right,
you know?
And at that young of an age, it's just being implemented, and they have no way of dealing with it. I mean, really.
Well, and kids are very, very impressionable. I mean, they mimic what they, you know, especially a 5 or 6 year old, they mimic what they see, what they hear. I mean, that's all what's going on. That's part of their learning process. So if you're embedding in their minds already that there's more than one lifestyle, you know, that
you have a choice.
As Anthony was talking about, a choice. You can be heterosexual, you can be homosexual, you know, mm-hmm. whatever else might come up, because goodness knows what else they might
goodness
be
knows.
You know,
see,
I have
a six-year-old
exactly.
sister.
Mm-hmm.
She's 6 years old. So last year, a little earlier of this year, okay? It was funny because me and my mom went to go pick up my sister, okay? And then my mom said she has to go inside real quick because the teacher wanted to talk to her. So I said, okay. And then they came outside, and my mom wasn't mad, but my mom was kind of laughing. And then I go, what happened? And then she goes, why don't you ask your sister? And I said, okay. So I asked my sister. She's smart enough, so she knows. So I said, what happened, Adi? And she goes, I got in trouble. And I said, why? And then she said, because we were playing wedding. And I said, what do you mean you were playing wedding? And she goes, we were playing wedding. She goes, well, one of my friends, she goes, me and my friend were walking, and we were picking flowers, and then a boy comes up to me and he says he wants to marry me. And I said, okay. She goes, and we were playing make-believe. I said, okay. And she goes, and he wanted to marry me. Now, he had a friend too, and he wanted to marry my friend. And I said, wait, this just sounds like a hookup. Like, this just sounds like little kids are hooking up at a playground this is what you hear like at a usual bar or something. So she goes, yeah. She goes, but then he left. And so he said, I'll marry both of you.
Uh-huh.
And then I go, okay. And then she said, yeah. She said, so I'm married. And I go, okay. I go, okay. And she goes, yeah. She goes, but mommy said that I'm in trouble. I said, wait till dad finds out. And she goes, oh, yeah. She goes, no. So once my dad found out, my dad wasn't mad, but my dad was all like, you don't be marrying anyone. You're barely 6 years old. She goes, I keep you until you're 18. Once you're 18, go adventure the world. He goes, no, wait. 36. Once you're 36, we're fine. You can go adventure whatever you want to do.
Uh-huh.
And then my mom and dad had to sit her down and explain to her why this was wrong.
Okay.
So I was sitting right there too, because of course I'm the older brother. So of course these questions didn't come back to me too, because I'm the older brother. And since I have a girlfriend, I already told my girlfriend, I told her, hey, you know what? My sister's going to come. My sister's not going to trust my mom with questions like this.
Mm-hmm.
So she's either going to turn to her godmother or she's going to turn to you, because me and you are going to be the only ones around. Just like my brother, he's only 10, mm-hmm. and he's getting to that stage where he's called a preteen. He's not a he's not a 10-year-old. He's a preteen.
Right.
Till he turns 13, then he's a teenager.
Right.
And then I remember when I was young, I was his age. I was like, you know, yeah, that's how it felt. Like I wanted to do that. I wanted to have those words too.
Right.
But my dad explained to her, you know what? You can't be marrying anyone right now. You're not of age. You can't be doing anything like that.
Yeah.
And then she said, why? Of course, she's in that stage. Why? Why?
But
why?
She's in kindergarten, you said, right?
Yeah, she's in, no, oh, yeah, she's in kindergarten right now. So my dad told her, even then, you can't be marrying a dude. You can't be marrying a boy who wants to have more than one wife. That's where she was blown away. And she's like, why? She goes, because in the Bible, it says one man, one woman.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, do you remember Adam and Eve? And my sister went to go grab her book, and she has the first, you know how they have the first, my first Holy Bible, and it shows the picture. Uh-huh. She goes, okay, well, how many? And then he showed it, and she picked it up. She opened it, and he said, how many people do you see right here? She goes, two. She goes, what is it? A boy and a girl. And he goes, do you see me and mommy with someone else too? And she says, no. He goes, exactly. Because God wants you to be a guy and a girl, but he wants it to be two. You can't have three. Three's too much. Three's a crowd. And she goes, two allowed. And then you have your own kids.
Okay, that can be a whole nother show. Okay, but what I want to ask you is that you were bi, and you were telling me some kind of interesting that the reason why, or the choice you made to get out of that. Can you kind of talk about that a little bit?
Oh, so so far, so in my...
Well, you were basically, just to remind you what I'm thinking about is you were saying that you wanted a family, and also the father figure that you had was saying that basically you couldn't come around your little brother.
He wasn't saying I couldn't come around him, but he was saying like I'd have to like keep my distance from my brother.
Uh-huh.
Not because he wouldn't want me to rub on him, but it's because which I'd understand too, because I
didn't want you to influence him.
I wouldn't want to influence him and tell him, hey, you know what, this is the right way. Because in my head, I know that it's the wrong way. Because of course, I was raised Christian, so I know in my head this is not the way that God wants to be intended. So as I did it, in my life, I've only had three boyfriends. Three guys.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as that, like, when I had my last one, I was like, you know what? This isn't even going to work out right, because I can't have kids with you. I can't do anything with you. I go, yeah, we can do other stuff. I go, but it's still not the same. I go, then I'm still going to feel bad. So
it's a dead end.
Yeah. I go, it's pretty much a dead end. And then I go, then on top of that, you know, it's just more awkward. I go, because then I don't know how you feel, and I don't know how I'll feel, because then I can say, hey, say if I stood with my ex and I went, hey, you know what, we can be together, but then I saw a girl. Once I see a girl, I'm probably going to be like, hey, she's pretty. I go, it's just like guys.
Mm-hmm.
Guys can be persuaded real easily, just like girls can be persuaded real easy. So it's just one of those things. So
yeah.
In my head, I was like, you know what, I need to stop this. And this was when I was like 15, 16, and then that's when I was like, I'm done, like, I can't do this no more. Like, I can't. And I told him, I said, you know what? It's not you. I go, if you want to keep doing this, that's fine. You can go find whoever you want. I go, but when it comes to me, I don't want to do this no more. Like, this is something I don't have planned for my life. This is something I go, in my head, I already had it planned. In my head, I already knew that it was just a phase. It was just something that was just coming in and out, because as much as I saw into guys, I was more interested in girls no matter what, because I saw how my dad took care of my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And in my head, I was like, you know what? I want to do that. I want to be a man who's going to take care of his wife, who's going to be there for his wife, who's going to protect her. So,
and I think the choice that Anthony made for himself would be very difficult for someone to make nowadays, because there's so much out there promoting homosexuality as an alternative lifestyle that should be accepted. And
I know, but Lanisha, he was saying that, in my opinion, the devil has a plan. And just like Jesus Christ died on the cross, I mean, yeah, it was brutal and this and that, but it's something that had to happen. It was prophesied. And I believe that the homosexual or the gay community has to take over, because it is something that is prophesied.
Well, I think that.
But wait a second. Let me finish. What Anthony is saying is that something inside of him, I don't think it had anything to do with propaganda, promotion, or anything. There was something inside of him, and it might have been his Christian roots. Or I'll say it like this, the spirit of God in him. And other people will say brainwashed. He's brainwashed into believing that the homosexual or bisexual lifestyle that he was in was wrong because of him being brainwashed. But there was something deeper inside of him saying, you know what? God didn't intend it for it to be this way. He was looking at his future, and his future as a homosexual or in a homosexual relationship stops at that. There's no room for children. And that means your bloodline stops. If you're serious about that, and what she was saying, if he decided to become gay, then he was going to walk the walk and talk the talk. And if you decide that, then there's no children. Your bloodline, you can go adopt kids, but your bloodline stops. Your father, your mother, everything stops right there. That's called death.
But I think, again, what you were saying, he was looking towards a family. 10, 12 years ago, you weren't able to adopt. Nowadays, you know, the homosexual, there's adoptions right and left. You know, they have, it's just making things in my mind easier to say you're like the everyday family, the people that live right next door that are a heterosexual family.
See, that's why I think that if I was born into this generation, like, I don't like this generation a lot. I don't. But if I've thought about it, and I've actually thought about it, if I was born into this generation and born around this time, I'm pretty sure I'd be gay. And I know for a fact I'd be gay.
And
but
that's
because
my point, Anthony, not to cut you off, but as Willie was saying, you were blessed enough to get that conviction of knowing this is not how God wants me to live my life. This is not the plan for my life. And here are the obvious and biblical reasons as to why. And my point is, in this day and age, there's still a lot of Christian boys out there who consider themselves homosexual or have homosexual tendencies or characteristics, but yet and still in this society today, they may not be blessed to get that conviction that you had. And it's because of all the influences from all the various outlets that is showing them and teaching them that it's acceptable, it's normal, it's just another way of living. Love who you love. You know, there's all these subliminal messages. And, yeah, it could be an attempt to promote tolerance, or it could be a subliminal message teaching children that they have a choice.
Yeah, the tolerance thing, I'm with that 100%. That we should, like I was saying, we should all treat each other equally and fairly. I have homosexual friends, and I love their girls, and I love them, and I know a guy, he has a business in Riverside. I've gone to his business for years. He's homosexual. I have not ever disrespected him. I don't believe in what he does or how he lives, but I am taught, and even more so after being a Christian, that I must respect everybody and treat everybody like I want to be treated, like Christ would treat them. But I cannot ever agree to that lifestyle because there's nothing in Christ that would have me do it. Matter of fact, it's everything against my spirit to accept that lifestyle.
Well, I think also, just to bring up a point, you were raised in a Christian household.
Yes.
So you had that. How many kids, I mean, millions of them, that aren't raised in that Christian household that doesn't have any understanding of necessarily the Bible or the conviction, and they're just kind of up and confused because they don't have anything to fall back on. And then, again, with the way you look at the media with, and just one of the programs I'm going to bring up is Modern Family. It comes on during prime time. It doesn't come on, you know, 10 o'clock at night. They're promoting a gay couple that's adopted a child out there, and it's supposed to be the average family. You know, I don't consider that to necessarily be the average family, but it's during times
when... It's the average family that they want, in my opinion, that the devil wants to promote their propaganda.
See, I don't understand that show because that show has so many, like, so many devil things, because if you notice, there's one couple that's gay, then there's the other couple where the wife is very beautiful and the husband is not ugly, but he's old. So in other words, it's promoting that he's a sugar daddy pretty much. And like, that's how I take it. And then there's the regular family, but they're the most messed up. The dad's messed up. The wife's messed up. So like in my head, I'm like, this show doesn't make sense, because it's making it seem like the gay family is the most happiest family.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there's the sugar daddy who's pretty much happy, but he's miserable. But as long as his wife's happy, it's cool. Then they have the regular family, and the regular family is the one that's all messed up. The dad's all everywhere. The dad wants to be hip with the kids, and then the mom is just doing what she needs to do. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense, because it's supposed to be. I go, I don't think this is supposed to be right, because the show is just so throwing off everything.
Well, this young lady on the phone, she'll tell you in a heartbeat that the homosexual parents have the, what is that, young lady? Their children are the most perfectest children. What do you say?
well, that's, you know, the ironic part to the whole thing is that it's been shown that homosexual couples do produce heterosexual children with, I guess, less dysfunction, I guess, because I can't think of anything else to say, than the average family. Now, am I agreeing to that? I don't know any family myself, but I know this has been said. This has been reported. This has been...
Poppycock! Okay, yeah. Never mind.
You know what's so ironic about it is that...
That's what that show is portraying. They're portraying that exact statistic.
And that's what I'm saying. It's just propaganda, in my opinion.
I do have a friend who has two gay parents.
Mm-hmm.
I have one friend who has two gay parents who are men, and then I have one friend who have two gay parents that are girls. The one that are girls, he does really good. He goes to a really good college and all that. But the other friend, he does the same thing, but he does it with drugs. So he does it when he's in front of his dad's. Oh yeah, everything's cool. But once you go into his room, that's a whole nother story. I've seen him do everything, and it's like, wait, I thought you're supposed to be successful. He goes, that's what everyone thinks. So that's why I'm saying, like, with her saying that they produce the best kids, they do produce the best kids, but they also produce kids who are also smart enough to trick their parents. Because think about it.
Well,
When it comes to a guy and a girl, which my parents taught me, if I ask my mom if I can have something, she says no. If I ask my dad, he says yes. Mm-hmm. But they're going to see each other sometime soon, and they're going to both agree upon it. Why'd you ask both of us?
Right.
But if you ask one parent, of a guy saying yes and the other parent of a guy saying yes, they're both going to say yes because they both have the same mentality.
That's a good point.
But you know what's funny when you say it, we have a very good Christian friend that's an ex-partner turned to be gay, and they had a daughter. And something that she said that just kind of amazed me was that I was asking one day how the kids were doing and stuff. And she says, I asked about the youngest one, and she says, you know, she's living with her boyfriend. She's doing really good. And, you know, her point that she was trying to make was, I'm not happy that she's living with her boyfriend, but I'm happy she has a boyfriend because she was being raised in a household with
two men. And that's why, because when it comes to having the same parents, like I said, my guy friend who has guy parents, they expect him to be with a girl because they don't want him. They want kids. So he'll hide it. He's straight up. He likes girls all the way, but he hides what he does. So he'll be like, oh yeah, I'm going to my girlfriend's house. He's really going to a crack house to go do what he needs to do. Oh yeah, I'm gonna go study with my girlfriend. He will go. So pretty much what he does is, if he says, oh, I'm gonna go to my girlfriend's house, he's going to his girlfriend's house, but he's making a stop, a pit tour, and then he's going to his girlfriend's house. Yeah. So pretty much that's why they didn't know that. So when it comes to same parents, That's why my parents always tell me there's a guy and a girl, because even if one says yes, one's going to say no. One's going to be like, you know what? I know why you're doing this. I did this when I was younger, which my parents always told me. I wasn't born yesterday. Mm-hmm. This is why I'm your parents. When you have kids, they're going to try to do the same tricks. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to a guy and a guy, you can trick both of them real easily because guys have the same mentalities. But when it comes to a girl and a guy, you can't trick. You can trick one, but you can't trick the other.
And that's another thing, and it's another show. I'm going to get into some scripture here in just a second. My whole format for the show has just totally been blown out the window, but probably for the better. Okay, but gosh, I just lost my frame of thought right there. I did. No, I mean, we had a discussion on this and that. Okay. So what I'm going to do is have you read about the birth. Okay, this is my belief where the Bible describes the birth of homosexuality. Okay.
We're reading out of Romans 1, verses 20 through 23. And it says, "For since the creation of God of the world, God's invisible qualities, his external power and divine nature has been clearly seen."
Okay, now what that's saying is God has created the stars and the moon and all this stuff, and that he is evident in all these things. I mean, a foolish person can look at the splendor of God's creation and know that this didn't come from an explosion. Go ahead.
It says, "Being understood from what has been made, so that man are without an excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave him thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds, animals, and reptiles."
Okay, what that's saying is that men are stubborn, and God, they knew that there's God, or they know that there's God, but they choose to go their own way. Rather, worship an idol or something that was made with hands or animals or something like that.
It says, "Therefore," and this goes on to verse 24, "Therefore God gave them over in their sinful desires of their heart to sexual impurities, for the degrading of their bodies with one another." Verses 25 through
28. Yes, I was just myself. Okay, go ahead. Sorry about that.
"They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and they worshiped and served creative things rather than the Creator, whoever is praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to shameful lust. Even their women exchanged natural relationships for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relationships with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty of their perversions."
Okay, so I say, in my opinion, that that is the birth of homosexuality. And the way I read that, or Denise, read the footnote, some of the footnotes to that. I mean, it's very interesting, and I don't want to mess it up, but what I'm getting is that men are so stubborn and they're set in their ways and they want to just be what they want to be. They want to have, and we're all like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, us sitting here right now, I guess my other point was homosexuality is a sin, but the fornication that people are going out and screwing everybody and not caring, and women are having babies, and rather than aborting them, a lot of them are being aborted, but a lot of them are being adopted. Not adopted, given up for adoption. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are being sold too. That's another show. So, but what I'm saying is they're giving them up for adoption. And this is where the homosexuals are getting now. It's coming into play, where those babies that are caused from another sin, going out and just committing fornication with women, and those women getting pregnant, and then giving the babies up because they don't love those babies. They're just out there screwing around. So they give those kids that they don't love up, and then they're out there. It's a sad situation. So rather than a kid being in a system, they'll say, well, hey, you know what? These homosexuals will love them. So they give them to the homosexuals, and those homosexuals teach them their ways.
Basically, one of the footnotes says it's God's plan for natural sexual relationship is his ideal for his creation. Unfortunately, sin distorts the natural use of God's gift. Sin often means not only defying God, but also defying the way we were made. When people say that any sex is acceptable as long as nobody gets hurt in it, they are fooling themselves. In the long run, and often in the short run, sin hurts people, individual, families, whole society. How sad it is that people who worship these things God made instead of the Creator is so often distorted and destroy the very thing they claim to be of value.
Okay, and seeing that in a nutshell is basically saying that we want to do what we want to do. Like you were saying, your friend, he's gay, he's proud he's gay, he stands up, and he's that. okay, I don't know what his upbringing is, if he believes in God, or...
Oh, no, he was raised full-on Catholic. He has a mom, and he has a dad. He has everything. He has a little brother, and everything's fine. They know that how he is, and pretty much he knows, like... I've talked to him about it, and he said, yeah, he knows that he's gay, and he knows that God doesn't like it, but it's just, like he said, it's not, he doesn't want, how he feels about it is he doesn't want no one to say what pretty much you're saying, which is, it was the internet, it was social, it was pretty much worldly, it was him, it was something inside of him, just like I told you, it was something inside of me that decided, you know what, this isn't the right way, this isn't the right way I'm supposed to be doing, this isn't something I'm supposed to be doing, this isn't something that feels right in my head. Cause then once I got a girlfriend after that, I was like, this feels right.
Okay.
Hugging a girl feels right. Having this.
Okay. Now, but are you saying that he never felt that what he was doing is wrong?
He actually did several times. And he says, like, when I've talked to him, he says like he does, but then he just, sometimes he'll ignore it. Sometimes he'll dawn on it. And sometimes he'll look at the Bible and be like, why? And then he just like, he pretty much plays with his head. He pretty much messes with his own head, because then he'll be right there and he'll talk to me, and when he did talk to me, he'd tell me, why am I like this? Wait, is this even right? No, it is right, because I want to choose it, but okay. And the Bible says it's not right, so why is it that I feel this way then? Like, and then he actually tried, he literally tried for like 2 years straight, tried to be with the girl, try to have a relationship with the girl, but he couldn't. Like, even when he kissed the girl, he said it felt like, if he said it was nothing wrong with the girl. He tried being with very beautiful girls. He tried being with all types of girls, all Asian, all different, and it just didn't feel right to him. Just felt like, you know what, like, it just doesn't feel right. Like, he has a lot of friends who are cute.
Common
and
complaint.
Yeah. Say that again.
I said that's a common complaint among the homosexual community, that believes they were born that way, or that they don't have a choice. You know, for the ones who believe that, they seem to be turned off by the opposite sex, or there's no enjoyment there, or there's no attraction there, there's something lacking, so therefore this must be normal, I must not have a choice. You know, but it all, to me, my opinion is that it just all falls back onto desires. We all desire things that we shouldn't desire, that's of sinful nature, that's, you know, hazardous to our health or safety or whatever the case may be.
Okay, let me cut you off there, because we're running out of time. So my point is that God loves us all. And, I mean, he loves the homosexual just like he loves the fornicator and the drunk and the drug addict. But there must be repentance. That means that we need to turn to God and we need to ask for forgiveness. And that's hard for, like you say, your friend to do, because he feels a certain way, but I think on his own that he'll never be able to establish the goal of being right with God unless he receives Christ into his spirit. And that's what helps all of us. I mean, all of us are sinners like that. And the only thing that can keep us, I guess, close to God or in touch with God is his Holy Spirit. And we have to repent and ask him to come into our lives and come into our hearts and then believe that. Okay. Denise, can you read Acts 3,
yes, 18? Yes, Acts 3, 18 and 19. And then I just want to say a little bit about on a footnote that I have.
You got 50, 40?
It says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send Christ who has been appointed to you, even Jesus. And kind of in the footnote it says, when we repent, God promises not only to wipe out our sin, but to bring spiritual refreshment. Repentance may at first seem painful because it's hard to give up certain sins, but God will give you a better way. And that's kind of what we were saying with your friend. It may be hard at something because it's what he desires.
Mm-hmm.
It's what the flesh desires.
The flesh desires, but God can fulfill those things and refresh it.
Because the flesh dies. And the spirit, and a lot of people think that's make-believe, Disneyland, La La Land, or whatever like that. But I believe that it's true, that we are vessels here, and that our main purpose and goal in life is to serve God. Mm-hmm. But we can't do that in the physical. We can do that in the spiritual. And that the only way we can overcome these obstacles is to receive that spirit. And that's what would give your friend the power to break out of that sin that he's in. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I'm out there too, man. I mean, I'm not, you know, gay or anything like that, but we all have our issues. And that's
and we all sin. We were born into sin, and mm-hmm. we all are sinners. Mm-hmm. And everybody has their cross that they have to bear, mm-hmm. whatever it may be.
So what I'm going to do is have you read that little tidbit at the end that we always say. I want to thank our call-in guest and Anthony. Anthony, I really appreciate you, man. I mean, really honestly appreciate you coming on and being so open and spectacular. Did I say spectacular?
Yes, you did.
Then I meant spectacular. All right. Okay. Go ahead, niece. Okay. Remember, we are never more like Jesus Christ than when we are forgiving, loving, and creating.